Governor Whitmer is a lawyer, educator, former prosecutor, representative, and senator. She reports, though, that being mom is her most important responsibility. I was able to meet her and work with her when she was chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee and then later Senate Democratic leader when I was president of Grand Valley State University and chair of the Michigan Association of State Universities as the president's counsel. She's a graduate from MSU and taught at U of M. She's a lifelong Michigander and has devoted her life to service and leadership in building a stronger Michigan for everyone. She is committed to protecting our Great Lakes and our drinking water. Close as a Coast Guard guy, that's important. And we know what she wants to fix, our roads and infrastructure, and ensure our education, and ensure our education system is resourced to deliver the talent needs for our state to lead the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome home for our 49th governor, the Honorable Gretchen Whitmer.
Thank you. Thank you. That was lovely. I appreciate it. All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And as chair of the Economic Club, I knew you weren't just going to be going off into the sunset. I knew you would stay engaged, and I'm awfully glad that you are, because I appreciate the leadership that you've shown here in this part of the state and the friendship that we've had over the years. So thank you. You know, it's great to be back here in Grand Rapids. One of the graduations, one of the degrees that I have is that of a high school degree from Forest Hills Central. So I am pleased to be back here. I heard some East Grand Rapids people boo, didn't I? Well, I'm very pleased to be here with all of you. You know, I grew up here, had my first job on 28th Street working at Burlingame Lumber, which was across from the mall many years ago, and learned a lot when I was living here in Grand Rapids. Went to MSU, and by the end of my freshman year, if you would believe it or not, my family moved back to East Lansing by the end of my freshman year. So I thought I was getting away from my family to go to college, and they all followed me. But we've lived in the Lansing area for the remainder of my life, essentially. And I grew up in this household with a mother who was a Frank Kelly Democrat. She was one of his top lawyers in the Attorney General's office. And a father who was a Milliken Republican. He was Governor Milliken's Director of Commerce Department when he was there. And these are two leaders that I always thought were wonderful examples of who we are and what we should strive for in this state. One on the Republican side of the aisle, one on the Democratic side of the aisle, but always focused on doing the public's work and being a good steward of our state. And it was something that certainly, as I talked about that on the campaign trail, figured out that you don't talk about those two on campuses because none of them know who the heck those two are, right? But I think that it was important because Michigan is a diverse state. We're politically diverse, we're culturally diverse, we're religiously diverse, we are racially diverse, we are geographically diverse. And it is an incredible strength, but it is also an inherent challenge, I think, when you're trying to set an agenda that really is bold and accomplishes shoring up the fundamentals that we've seen get not prioritized in recent years. And so while in our household we had a lot of interesting conversations at the dinner table, this was the message that was always instilled in my siblings and me. These values of public service, of ensuring that we don't vilify one another, but we stay true to our values, but we always seek to find solutions. And I think that these are values that everyone in this room shares as well. I know that you work hard on behalf of your family, on behalf of your community, every single day, that you never forget where you come from, and I want to thank you for the work that you do. I think that you could be an incredible partner to me and to my administration as we forge the path ahead for the state of Michigan. Now, as many of you know, I hit the ground running when I took office in January. I set a goal to refocus state government on building and developing a talented workforce to help our businesses compete. As I got around the state, I heard from heads of household and heads of business that we've got to get the fundamentals right, closing the skills gap, rebuilding our infrastructure, protecting and cleaning up our water. So my first month in office, I signed an executive directive to expand opportunities for small and disadvantaged businesses all over the state. This is to ensure that small business can compete with state contracts and to ensure that we level the playing field. I signed an executive order to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in state government. Because when we show the world that Michigan is a place where there is opportunity for all, that we are inclusive, it inures to the benefit of our business community as well, and it boosts our economy. In June, I signed an executive order to create the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity, LEO, we call it, and to focus on ensuring that every Michigander has a path to a good job. Now, the reorganization of this department kind of pulled all of the different pieces of state government that was focused on closing a skills gap and harnessed that and put it all into one area with a dynamic leader who's got proven results in the field. I named Jeff Donofrio to be at the helm of this new organization. And this is a guy who spent his entire career working to create paths for hardworking Michiganders to get the skills they need to get into the job market. We have over 500,000 high-wage jobs that are going to be needing to be filled by 2026. And at this juncture, only 45% of our adult population has a post-secondary degree or certificate. So closing that skills gap, getting us to the 60% that I said was our state goal when I gave the State of the State in February, is essential, not just for businesses that are here and have anticipated need, but it's essential to draw investment into our state. It's essential to raise the incomes of hardworking people across the state who want to take care of their families and simply lack the ability to get the skills they need. Now, Jeff Donofrio, I think, is the right guy for the job because he is a visionary, someone that I plucked out of the Duggan administration in the city of Detroit. And he's someone who's developed real private-public partnerships to think creatively about how do we meet the need that businesses seeing in communities across the state, and how do we ensure that there's a real path for individuals who want to close that skills gap. He added more than 20,000 jobs during his tenure in the city of Detroit. And so, reforming workforce development programs for in-demand fields, building pathways to skills opportunities, and removing barriers to employment were important parts of the success that he had in Detroit and things that we are going to translate and replicate across the state of Michigan. And everyone in this room has a reason to be involved in that, and I hope that you take the opportunity and that you do partner with us. You know, in the first 6 months, we also were so fortunate to announce a number of investments in the state. We worked incredibly hard with FCA so that we could close a deal on FCA building the first assembly plant in decades right here in Michigan. But it's not just an assembly plant in the Detroit area. It also is more investment in Monroe, more investment in Macomb County. And I know these are all Southeast Michigan examples, but there's some great things that we are working on here on the west side as well. But that FCA project alone creates about $4.5 billion in that private FCA investment. It's going to create more than 6,000 good-paying jobs and has a return on investment of about 7-1. We are moving forward on a variety of issues. I see he's already coming up to the stage. I thought I'd get out of time before you did that. But we're working on a number of investments, a number of economic development opportunities that we have. But I think that the most important thing that we need to do as a state is ensure that we meet the foundational needs of our people. That is rebuilding our infrastructure. It's a conversation I started 6 months ago when I introduced the budget. And today we announced that we're going to continue the conversation, but we're still going to get a budget done on time. It is about educating the children of Michigan whose outcomes are not where they should be. 49 other states are better educating their kids to become readers than the state of Michigan is right now. And it's not because our kids have any less aptitude. It's not because our educators have any less dedication. It's a reflection of us not prioritizing education in our budget and in our policy making. These are the fundamentals. When we turn them around, every one of you and your businesses benefits from it. Every one of you will see the results as we make these investments. And that's what I'm working on every single day as your governor. The problems we're facing in education infrastructure absolutely impact every one of us, whether you have a child in the public schools or whether or not you're driving the roads every single day. We have a lot of work to do in this state, but I am proud to say that I am the governor of Michigan, because the best part about the state, it's the people who call it home. We are on the move. We are open for business. We are going to retain our edge in mobility and in manufacturing, and we are also going to show the world that we are the best stewards of water, because we have 21% of the world's fresh water right here in and around Michigan. These are the critical things that I will stay focused on, and I hope that you all will join in, jump in, because every one of you is impacted by the work that we're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Governor. Is this on now? Perfect. As I mentioned, the governor is wanting to hear from you, your questions and the like. And if you could speak up loudly, if we have to repeat the question, we will. But let's go at it, please. First question. So the question is basically looking at the funding for higher education, a 3% proposal, and then what?
So, and was it driven by other factors with regard to recruitment, enrollment, graduation rates, et cetera? So having spent my whole life in the state, I can tell you when I left Grand Rapids to go to Michigan State, at that point in time, when I used my MET card to pay for my tuition, the state picked up 70% of a student's tuition. And it was up to us to come up with the other 30% through scholarships or loans, however we pieced it together. Now it is exactly the opposite. Right now, the whole cost of getting a higher educated population is borne essentially by the individual seeking it. And it's absolutely been a complete barrier for a lot of people to even go into a four-year degree. So we've got a kind of a situation on our hands where the cost of that four-year degree is too much for people to bear. We've seen continued cuts in higher education over the years. This 3% is actually the biggest investment that we could make in higher education that has been made in many years in Michigan. I wanted to make this statement because higher education is a priority to me, it's a priority to our economy, and it is a priority to ensuring that we've got the concentration of talent to draw investment into Michigan. That 3% was, doesn't reverse the trend completely, but it does take a big step forward. What we've seen come out of the House and the Senate is significantly less. And so as we talk about how do we make decisions of how the dollars are spent, I think you're asking a really smart question, and there are formulas that have been built in over the years to how that the dollars are allocated. But at this juncture, I was simply trying to make a bigger investment so that we were able to do more and to bring down the cost of a higher education. It is all in limbo right now because that 3% is not part of a budget that I've been able to sign into law yet. We are in quick negotiations as the end of the fiscal year is quickly approaching on September 30th. It's something that I was hopeful we would have gotten this done before July 1st when school districts and municipalities' budgets began. But the legislature took an extended break, and so now we are in crunch time, and I'm hopeful that we can retain or stay close to that 3% because I think it's a really important investment. Thanks.
Another question.
Over here, there's a gentleman over here.
Received
So I recently addressed all the presidents of the universities and the trustees and regents and gubernatorial appointees on all of the boards across the state. And we had some discussion about that. And certainly when you have all of them in the room, you can imagine there are a lot of different opinions. Strong, very well-informed opinions, too, by the way. You know, certainly I think there are historical decisions that have been made that we are have been built into the process. The three research universities were created differently and treated differently and have a different governance structure. And the autonomy that I think is really important to our universities, all of them, is something that the legislature's been reeling back. So as we think about how we prioritize and how we value the education that kids are getting on different campuses, I recognize GVSU is a phenomenal institution. We boast more top-notch universities than I think, you know, just maybe other than two other states. The concentration is here in Michigan, and we are leaders in that. In terms of would I support a thoughtful dialogue about how we prioritize those dollars, how we take into account these factors that you cited? Absolutely. I think that that's something that's really important. I want to diverge just for a second, though, and talk a little bit about the bigger budget picture. So right now, higher education, which used to be solely funded through the general fund, is now also funded through the school aid fund. This is a consequence of our infrastructure needs not keeping up with our infrastructure means not keeping up with our infrastructure needs. Instead of actually funding and building roads the way we should have been over these years, they started taking money out of the general fund to fill potholes. To shore up the general fund, they took the money out of the school aid fund. And so as a consequence of this shell game that's been played, we're neither rebuilding roads the right way, we're certainly not putting enough resources into higher education like we should be, and our kids, unfortunately, in the K-12 system are paying the worst price for it because they're just funding the rest of the bill. So long as we have roads coming out of the general fund, all of these other priorities are demeaned. All of these other priorities are compromised because roads will continue to eat more and more of that general fund. You can't not rebuild a road when it gets into critical state. And that's why this system that we have is not working. That's why what I put on the table really is a thoughtful, real solution to the problem that we're confronting and gives us the ability to make a greater investment in higher education and into the education of our kids, to clean up water in Michigan and to fix the roads, right? So I just highlight that because as you see this budget process play out and a road plan that I introduced not being a part of it, but commitments that we're going to continue the work, I think everyone should be very concerned that so long as general fund dollars are being put into roads, it compromises our ability to prioritize higher education, period, much less the ability to have the conversation I know you're hoping we have.
Another question, please. Yes, sir.
Governor, my name is Rick Adam, a longtime resident of Grand Rapids, and my kids were with you at Forest Hill Central. My question is this. You mentioned the state's underperformance of the public schools on reading, 49th out of 50. I understand there will be some increases to cover that in terms of dollar funding. Are there other issues?
So the perennial question of our outcomes are not just a function of lack of investment. And I think that that's the basis of the comments that you made and the question that you raised. What else should we be thinking about in terms of, yes, making a greater investment, but policy changes? What can we do to make improve the outcomes of our children? Well, unfortunately, I think one of the things that happens when the budgets get cut and the classroom sizes grow is that when school districts are making decisions, they cut out all of the kind of wraparound support that made a difference for kids, whether it is counselors or it is career navigators. Those kind of wraparound things, especially for kids who are in high poverty districts, have dire consequences because now you've got a bigger classroom with a teacher that's wearing all of these hats who's unable to do the job that they're really trained to do and want to do, and that we need them to do. And so I do think that there are some policy changes that we can make in addition to a greater investment. The third grade reading law is something that we have to get our arms around and probably make some changes pretty quickly here, because we've seen this punitive policy that's not informed by the science of educating children, but informed, I think, by a frustration that had a reaction, is really going to mean that we're going to be holding back a lot of kids if we don't change this law next year. The budget that I introduced had tripling the number of literacy coaches. That's a meaningful, not particularly expensive way of ensuring that our kids are readers by the time they leave third grade. As I said, when you look at growth in literacy, we're 50th in this country. Michigan at one point boasted the finest public education system in the world. And now we are behind every other state in the nation, much less competing with other countries. And so I believe that when it comes to real policy change in the classroom, there's much we could do. It starts with being able to make the investment, but continues with ensuring that as we are seeing children in different districts having different outcomes, that we've got to address them. Let me just quickly observe a couple things. The Grand Rapids Public Schools has a higher population of African American students. And African American students excel when they have a teacher who also is African American in their first 3 years. It boosts their graduation rates. If they have two teachers in those first, before third grade, I think it doubles their numbers in terms of going to college and graduation rates. This is something that is a policy question of how do we ensure that we encourage and support minority students to go into the education of children and then get into the districts that could have incredible outcomes for kids. So this is maybe one example of a policy that we could adopt in Michigan that we could prioritize and give the, you know, support that really changes outcomes for kids in addition to the investment.
One more question, please. Yes, ma'am.
I wish I could say, yes, I can fix this. I see and appreciate and share the anxiety that a lot of businesses have with regard to trade policy coming out on Twitter and changing frequently. I think that it's dangerous and it's had real impacts for people, whether it's in manufacturing or craft brewing when you're talking about aluminum, or it is in farming as you're trying to get soybeans to market. And so this is, I think, something that's been really destructive for our economy in Michigan in particular. When there was conversation about whether or not there would be increased tariffs on Mexico, I did get on the phone with Secretary of Commerce and make the Michigan case. Now, I don't know that it was that phone call, but the next day they changed the policy. But I wanted to make sure that the Trump administration understood while Michigan might be on the Mexico border, we have a lot of our economy dependent on that ability to have trade, and to point out to them what it really would mean for Michigan. I'll tell you this. I went to Washington, D.C. with the National Governors Association back in February and went to the state dinner at the White House, and I sat right next to President Trump during that dinner. And we had a very interesting conversation. You'll have to buy the book later. I did go home and take some notes, I'm not gonna lie. he said, Michigan's really important to me. And I said, I know, because of our electoral college votes. But he said, Michigan's really important to me, and I wanna make sure that we, you know, have a dialogue. And So I did use that opportunity to make the case, whether it's on invasive species, and we're talking about the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, or it is the Sioux Locks. So much of our economy is dependent on these critical federal investments, And that's why I picked up the phone to call to make sure they understood what the change in tariff policy with Mexico was going to mean for Michigan businesses. And I do think that they're paying attention because Michigan is important to them. But single-handedly, is there something that I can do to ameliorate it or to fix it? No, but I have met with a lot of businesses, international businesses that have a presence in Michigan, and I have bent over backwards to make sure that we are a source of support when they are making decisions and that we're a state that they continue to keep on the top of their list in terms of future investment.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Again, Governor, thank you for being here. I know busy time in Lansing, especially these next weeks coming up. But on behalf of my friends and colleagues here in West Michigan, please accept this junior achievement for a young person in your honor that will be given to that individual for a year's membership. So I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you.